Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever heard of the Committee for State Security? Probably not. It sounds somewhat familiar, but this exact combination of words. If I told you the Russian abbreviation, you would know. It's KGB. Комитет государственной безопасности. The infamous secret police, foreign intelligence, and counterintelligence agency of the USSR. Most of the former Soviet republics renamed the KGB, one exception being Belarus. I'm not sure that the people there feel very secure under the Committee for State Security. I guess if we take an example closer to us geographically, there used to be a structure in the DDR called also Ministry of State Security, right? Stasi for short. Here again we have this word security. And if you're listening to the news on the radio or on the TV, this is a word I'm trying to train my German, so I'm hearing Sicherheit all over the place these days because of the Munich conference that's happening right now. Yeah? It's an interesting word, security. We think about how it's being provided and for whom. So currently in Germany, we have a much milder sounding. I won't make you listen to my German by pronouncing it, but you know, it translates as the Federal Intelligence Service, which sounds benign until you think about, well, that's a lot like the Central Intelligence Agency of my home country, and I don't know about you, but the letters CIA don't necessarily make people feel safe and secure. Societies, wherever they are, dedicate a lot of power and resources to security. If we think not only of these agencies, but also of the military and the police, we realize how much we put our trust in them. We don't give it too much thought because we can imagine how it might be otherwise. What if, instead of delegating our security concerns to the government, each of us just decided on his or her own that each of us was responsible for his or her own security? It could turn into total chaos, anarchy. That would be unacceptable. We need protection. Sure, we know that the security forces mostly work in the interest of maintaining the status quo, but without them it would be even worse. That's what we tell ourselves. On the other hand, I want to ask, and especially in light of what's happened in Russia in these last few days, does having the government have so much power, is that really worth the security it provides? Today we are confronted by the paradox of security, both in what's happening in the world around us, and when we come to church this morning in the psalm, where it all seems so simple. And I made it very simple for the children's sermon, but you'll forgive me, they were less than 2 years old. So we're going to make it a little more complicated now. We don't know the concrete reasons why this psalm was written, but we do know that the author was living in a world full of threats. There are the hunter's snares, there are arrows flying all around, there is plague and destruction that the author talks about. It's not surprising that in such a world, the author would also talk about being terrified at night. If we look beyond the verses that we read today in this very psalm, the author looks at the natural world and also sees all sorts of threats there. lions and cobras, and there's a word in the old translations that is something like dragon, like a body of a dragon and a head of, I just realized now, a head of a chicken. That's maybe not appropriate for the children's sermon. Anyway, nature, natural evil, and kind of a mythical evil, it's out there. The psalm writer knows that, and the Bible gives us a realistic picture of the way the world really is, full of threats. It talks about particular examples from the ancient Near East, but I think we could also imagine analogies for different times and different places. And because this psalm offers such reassurance, it's been a favorite of religiously minded people for thousands of years. Archaeologists have found amulets with portions of Psalm 91 engraved on them, sometimes in Hebrew, sometimes in Greek or in other languages. So we know that both Jews and ancient Christians made jewelry with these, with verses from this psalm. Seemed to indicate that they imagined that by wearing this jewelry, they could scare evil away. It was a little bit like a force field around them. Similarly, archaeologists have also found something called demon bowls. There would be a bowl made of, what are bowls made of? In those worlds, I can't think of the English word, but engraved in it would be words from this psalm. It would be planted outside the house. An idea would be kind of a trap for the demons that tried to get inside. They would run into these words from Psalm 91 and get stuck there. So this is a particular, we see that there is a kind of desire to make these words into a magic formula. I don't think today we are going to stop producing anti-aircraft weapons and start ramping up the production of magic amulets, but we too also have sometimes a too much trust in those things that we think provide us security. Even today, there are stories of mothers sending their sons into battle with these words. Remember these words and then you'll be okay, they think. But that's not the way it works. We know that the psalm does not provide magic protection against suffering already if we look at the New Testament reading for today. Because we have a verse there of Psalm 91 quoted. Did you notice who quoted it? It was the devil. The devil quoted Psalm 91. The evil one encourages a simplistic approach to security. Knowing how vulnerable we are, and knowing even how vulnerable the Son of God was, the tempter seeks to exploit our weakness so that we trust anything other than the living God. This was a pretty clever trick. Using something that is valued by faith, in this case it's scriptures, as a means to undermine the very heart of that faith. Kind of like, again, what can happen in the world. It's good that we delegate our security perhaps to others, but when we start to do so blindly, when we start to think of, when we forget about the ultimate powers that lie behind earthly powers, this, it becomes a misplaced faith. This becomes a way the devil tempts us to think that, oh, the government will solve everything, or the UN, or whoever. Our need for security and safety is real. I don't know if you all know Maslow's pyramid of needs, this idea where it's kind of not in fashion these days that much, but the basic idea is that on the bottom you have to, there's a pyramid of what we need in life. At the very top is we want self-expression and freedom, but we can only get there if we have what's at the bottom, which are things like food, air, and water. And that right up the next level after food, air, and water is security. Without that, we can't move up to the the better things in life. And though we're not worried about lions or cobras or arrows flying at us, there are still things that threaten us, both nearby and far away. There are threats to our family, to our society, and to our planet. There are threats that we are attempted to overcome sometimes by making compromises with evil. But Jesus shows us that what it means to go through life with our eyes set on God and God's plan for the world, with trust in our Heavenly Parent. Trusting God does not mean walking around the world with a force field of protection, but instead with the confidence that God's kingdom has come near. As Jesus will say, as soon as going back from the desert, that's basically the first things he preaches, is that the kingdom of God has come near. This sense that God's kingdom is near helps us experience our lack of security, helps us understand our experience of lack of security, and helps us turn to the right source for safety, to look to God for our protection. And to interpret our experiences of protection in this life as God acting in our lives. I think if we think about our own lives for a minute, there must have been these times when you felt really insecure. Maybe you felt that you were in physical danger. Maybe your whole self-understanding changed when something didn't go right the way you would understood yourself before because of some failure or another. You had to re-examine yourself. Sometimes we feel like we're in an emotional free fall. And if we remember back in those times in our lives, when we're in those moments of free fall, there was usually there some hands to catch us. We might have recognized at the moment that it was God's hands, but we might have thought, oh, that's Anne's hands. Or there might have been those wings of protection that we immediately thought of God, but maybe we thought, no, it was government forces that came back into the country and brought peace, for example. For when we are believing and actively thinking about God, then we understand our experiences of protection in life as God's acts of saving us, as in this psalm. We start this Lenten season with a chance to express our gratefulness to God for the ways God has provided safety and security in our lives. Our scripture today and throughout Lent, they give us confidence that the evils we meet on our path are not stronger than the good. The scriptures give us confidence that resisting temptation is not pointless. I wrote these words on Friday morning, and then Friday at lunch, I heard the news about the death of Alexei Navalny, the leader of the Russian opposition. This hit me and my family really hard as people who wish for a different future for Russia. And while I don't know what Navalny's religious beliefs were, I did see someone who would go right, would stand with the devil and keep with his principles. And I think if I can do one-tenth of that in my own life, be in the face of evil and still do the right thing, then I will have learned something from Alexei Navalny. And even for those of you for whom Navalny doesn't mean anything, there are examples in this time to see in the scriptures how Jesus is again and again faced with the opportunity of saving himself, of finding compromise with the powers that be for his own safety. He could probably even justify it, that it would be good for others if he would help make peace between the Romans and the Jewish people, for example. But he stuck with his principles. And Navalny also said, it's not pointless. If they kill me, he was asked a few years before he was killed, if they kill you in prison, what should we do? And he says, don't lose hope. Keep it up. And I think this was a bit of an inspiration for me. This will be an inspiration for me this Lent, to try to kind of keep up resisting evil. Keep up living in the example that Jesus showed us, all based on the confidence that God is there protecting us. That our ultimate safety is in the hands of the one who created us, who reconciled us, and will bring us into life eternal. Amen.